Hi, and welcome to Dr. Scott Gray's Redefining Physical Therapy podcast for orthopedic, sport, and manual physical therapists, delivering practical and real-life content and strategies for busy clinicians. Here is your host and expert physical therapist, Dr. Scott Gray.
So we just got done listening to part one of Roberta Knoll's podcast, where she basically talks about her quadriceps system. So I want you guys to stay tuned for the next part of this two-part series, where we go a little bit deeper into her quadriceps system and I ask Roberta questions. So without further ado, here's the second part of our interview. Now, Roberta, can you just go ahead and maybe elaborate, let's just pick a couple here, some of the callus patterns of let's do the A and the C and F quads. Maybe just talk a little bit about the pathology of how they put force through their foot.
Okay, so you started with the, let's start with the C quad. The C quad is a pretty common one. The C quad is about 30% of the population, and C quads walk like a duck. They walk with their feet turning outward. And because of that, when they go into propulsion, they don't roll directly forward over their hallux. They roll off the medial aspect of their hallux, which leads to a pinch callus of the great toe. Now, let's remember that these are congenital foot types. That means since the time they were a youngster and they started walking, they've always walked like a duck. They've always walked with their hips turned out. Now, we as PTs, we understand the impact of that. That means their lateral hip rotators are going to be chronically shortened. Their IT band will be chronically shortened. They're going to be predisposed to symptoms like compressive lower back pain, hip bursitis, IT band syndrome, things of that nature. So C quads are very, very commonly will present to you not with foot pain, but with hip and back pain, because most of their compensation, their gait compensation, is coming from the hips and the pelvis by lateral rotation throughout gait. So I always joke when I speak to our podiatry colleagues about the C quads, I say, how many people are walking around with hip and back pain going, boy, I really need to get to a podiatrist because my hip is killing me? This is something that a PT is going to see very, very commonly. And let's, again, remember that that's 30% of the patients that we see coming in our clinics with mechanical lower back pain or chronic hip problems. Look at their feet and see if they walk like a duck. It's a very easy fix. Which other foot group did you want me to review, Scott?
Yeah, let's go over the A quad with just that high pes cavus foot.
Yeah, so the A quad, remember the A quad, their big toe points inward. Now, the C quad that we just reviewed, they walk like a duck because, remember, in the C quad, you have a very supinated heel. And when your heel is supinated, it elevates the whole medial side of your foot from the ground. And that causes the person to toe out. We go into great detail about why that happens in our training webinars. Now, the A quad, I'm going to simplify this. The A quad doesn't have to toe out like the C quad does because they have their supinated rear foot is coupled with a forefoot valgus. And the forefoot valgus, the pronated forefoot to rear foot relationship, brings the medial part of the foot back down to the ground more easily. So the A quad walks almost like they're on a tightrope, one foot right in front of the other with a very narrow base of support. And at foot flap, because of the forefoot valgus, they load heavily on the first metatarsal head. And so obviously that can cause first MTP pain like sesamoiditis. The weight on that forefoot will quickly transfer over to the lateral side of the foot due to excessive supination in propulsion. And then we'll see a corresponding callus on the fifth metatarsal head. Sometimes the fifth metatarsal head will eventually become sublux and weight will also transfer over to the fourth. So another common symptom with A quads are lateral column neuromas. Also because of the excessive supination and propulsion, we know cavus feet are prone to ankle instability, recurrent ankle sprains. fibular fractures aren't uncommon as well.
Yeah, that's great, Roberta. Now, what about the, I guess the D would be pretty common, right? That compensated rear foot varus.
That's our Fred Flintstone foot, and that foot has a neutral forefoot, but the rear foot's a pronator. So that foot is just your hypermobile flat foot. Both the medial and lateral columns of the foot become hypermobile. You'll get transverse metatarsal arch reversal. So classically, these are people that come in with a lot of foot pain, plantar fasciitis, metatarsalgia, particularly on that second metatarsal, sometimes stress fractures. But let's not forget the knee. Okay, this is probably, and those of us that work with the athletic population, think about patellofemoral pain, lateral tracking of the patella. As the foot is pronating, the kneecap tracks laterally. And I call this a young person's pathology because most of the people that we see complaining of patellofemoral pain disorder are young athletes. As a D-quad patient gets older, many D-quads, their foot pathology becomes worse, and they will turn into that F-quad, the failed foot, the orange group. And those patients also have knee pathology, but their knee pathology is going to be much more serious than patellofemoral pain disorder. It's going to be ACL tears, medial compartment osteoarthrosis, genu valgus, and their callus pattern migrates. It's not just the second metatarsal head. It can encompass the second, third, and even the fourth metatarsal head as that forefoot reversal of that transverse arch becomes even more progressive.
So it sounds like the D quad, they start off with a D quad as the congenital foot, and then as they don't get it treated in management, then they kind of progress all the way to the F quad.
Yes, and that's a good point to bring out, Scott. That's an excellent point because the F quad truly isn't a congenital foot type. It's a man-made foot type. I'd say the F quad is a D gone bad in many cases, or sometimes an E that got worse. So for that reason, we call the F quad the adult acquired flat foot, okay, because it's a foot that starts off mild to moderately pronated and gets worse.
Yep, great. So Roberto, do you want to maybe hop into your case then in regards to applying your system?
Sure. Yeah, I thought I'd start off with a case that's actually not one of the most common cases, but it's a really great foot to treat. I'm going to talk about an A quad case. Now, one thing I do like to point out is the system isn't like a light switch. It's not like you're an A or a C or an E. If you're looking at the foot typing chart, there's a little bit of flow to it. You can be a high A or a low A or a high C or a low C and so on and so forth. There are cases that fall between the lines. And I'm going to talk a little bit about our training program to help differentiate when you get kind of stuck between two foot groups and how you make that final decision. So I brought up a case of a woman who was 38 years old, and she was complaining of pain between the fourth and the fifth metatarsals, which was diagnosed as a neuroma, an interdigital neuroma. And she also had a pain and callus under the first metatarsal phalangeal joint or the metatarsal head. And of course, that was diagnosed as sesamoiditis. She had intermittent heel pain, which is not uncommon with a high arch foot. Remember, we call the high arch foot chandelier shaker, so they pound on their heels. And that infracalcaneal heel pain that you see in a cavus foot isn't always plantar fasciitis. Sometimes it's nerve irritation, or it can just be inflammation of the infracalcaneal fat pad. But in general, some general heel pain. She had a prior history as well of lateral knee pain, which upon inquiry sounded a little bit like insertional IT band syndrome, which is not uncommon in high arch feet. So let's delve into why she might have these symptoms. Well, statically, we start to do our objective findings, and we're looking at her, and we see that she has a pretty high arch foot. Maybe not the highest arch I've ever seen, but it was substantially high, higher than normal. When you look at patients with high arches, look up. Pay attention to their knees. The higher the arches, the more hyperextended the knees will become. because people with cavus foot structure have what's called forefoot equinus, and that's a posture alignment by which the forefoot is more plantigrade to the rear foot. So when they stand up, they have to hyperextend their knees to get their heels down on the ground. This causes a lot of strain on the iliotibial band, and a lot of your younger athletes with cavus feet will suffer from insertional ITB syndrome or lateral knee pain. Looking at the patient from behind, you would observe that this patient has significantly inverted heels, which is, you know, as we know now, causing the high arches, and they have a peekaboo hallux, so we're seeing too much of that big toe medially. In gait, it's interesting to watch this person walk, because during gait, you'll notice that they walk with a very linear path of progression, one foot right in front of the other, and they will drive forcefully off of the first metatarsal head in propulsion. That's because of the forefoot valgus. And when you go into propulsion and you're driving off the first metatarsal head, that can cause your foot to become unstable at the ankle. So one of the really interesting things that we'll see on a lot of cavus feet is that that patient will start to grasp at the ground with their lesser toes. And I call this self-posting. Maybe if I can, I'll put a link up of a nice video that you can observe on Scott's website. So you'll see the lesser toes grabbing at the ground to try and create lateral stability. This is a good key indicator that the orthotic, if you're going to dispense an orthotic to this patient, it's going to need to incorporate lateral forefoot posting, typically with a complete cutout or relief for the first metatarsal head, and or a metatarsal bar with the first cutout, depending on how severe that valgus is. So the cavus foot has high arches, they walk with a narrow base of support, they drive forcefully off of the first metatarsal head, and they will grasp at the ground with their lesser toes to try and self-correct by creating their own lateral posting using their fourth and fifth toes. And so the orthotic design will need a deep heel cup. It's going to need to be, I like to include what I call a lateral heel clip, which is a deeper lateral heel cup so that the patient doesn't excessively supinate during early propulsion. And then that lateral forefoot posting with the first met cutout. Scott, you're an A quad, aren't you?
I'm a B quad.
Oh, a B quad, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I actually had struggled. I was a Division I football player, for those of you listening and don't know that. And it was during my junior year, I had actually suffered bilateral sesamoiditis on the tibial sesamoid. And so basically, as Roberto was talking about, I had a uncompensated forefoot valgus. And, you know, I tried everything, you know, during my career to rehab it, but at the end of the day, I needed an orthotic, and that was during this time when I actually came across Roberta's B quad, which basically saved my athletic career. And so her orthotics really do work, and I mean, I have the exact symptoms as what the B quad talks about. I had sesamoiditis, I had sacral and SI joint pain because it was causing up the kinetic chain to cause some inflare of my SI joint and severe hip internal rotation. So it is real, and she really has done a great job of putting all this together.
Yeah. So the difference to bring out, Scott, between your valgus forefoot and the case that we just talked about, the A quad, is your valgus is coupled with a pronating rear foot. So a B quad won't have quite that cavus arch of an A quad, but what you will notice is during gait, there will be not just that peekaboo toe of the hallux, it'll be a little bit of a whole in-toeing of the gait cycle. And so that also requires that offloading of the first metatarsal head. So we'll use the purple orthotic, the B quad, but we'll also often incorporate a metatarsal bar to offload that first metatarsal head, like in the case of yours where there was associated sesamoid pain.
Sure. Now, Roberta, what was the outcome with this case? I mean, did this person feel pretty much immediate relief?
Oh, it's really interesting because the foot types that are extremely structural in nature, which the A-quad is a prime example, there's not a lot mechanical. A lot of PTs will say, well, can I mobilize that joint? Or you cannot do anything to change an uncompensated rear foot varus or an uncompensated forefoot valgus. Those are structural conditions of the foot, much like anteversion. There's nothing we can do to change anteversion. It's a structural malalignment of the femur. So with the A-quad, when you give a structural correction, the results are almost immediate. I have had A-quad patients stand on the yellow orthotic and tell me, I'm not leaving your clinic without this device, because the results are almost immediate. Often other conditions, like if you're talking about like a C-quad, they're going to have a lot of secondary muscle restrictions. That IT band is really tight. They can have piriformis shortening and sciatic nerve entrapment. Those things need to be treated. So really what we need to come to understand as PTs is what we can functionally fix and what we have to structurally fix. So use an orthotic to address the structural component that's leading to the functional pathology and treat the secondary problems that are occurring because of the way the patient walks. So a C-quad might have chronic back pain. They might need to spend, you know, several weeks stretching out their IT band, but the orthotic will do for that particular C-quad case is allow them to maintain what they've gained in physical therapy. So one common thing I hear from C-quad patients is, I've tried stretching before and it doesn't ever have any difference for me. And that's because they may not have had the right orthotic. If you give the patient, that C-quad patient orthotic, they will be able to start to walk straighter and less toe out once they gain range of motion from their stretching program. So the orthotic is a component of that patient's program, and the results might not be immediate, but in general, when I dispense an orthotic, I'm looking for a positive result within 2 to 4 weeks. And by positive, I mean, if I think their structure is leading to their pathology, I want to see a 50 to 80% reduction in their symptoms within 2 to 4 weeks of dispensing the orthotic. And that's how I measure success.
That's great. Now, Roberto, let's just hop right into some questions about some of the orthotic stuff. What is what is wrong with most orthotics? You know, you see a lot of people out there in the literature saying, well, orthotics don't work. And I think I know where you're going to go with it, but I think it's been my clinical experience that most PTs or other people that are evaluating the foot, they don't understand how to evaluate from the foot up to the hip. And I think a lot of times we don't get the right orthotic. Is there some truth to that?
Yeah, I think there's been a loss of this, I want to call it, it's a science and an art on the study of biomechanics. And one of the most important things is to look at the forefoot. And you and I have had this conversation before, Scott, is that orthotics simply will not work if they're not designed and posted properly. Now, in our quadricep system, and of course, this is the same as the methods we use in our custom stride lab, many foot orthotics need to have what's called extrinsic forefoot posting. That's a platform that goes out under the ball of the foot. Three of the quads, that's going to be the yellow group, the red group, and the orange group, they need extrinsic forefoot posting to get the job done. One of the greatest failures I see patients come into my clinics with a bag full of orthotics that they've tried. And if they fall into that A, E, or F group, and the orthotics that they own don't have the necessary extrinsic forefoot posting, they simply can't work. Because when you have forefoot pathology, the forefoot controls your entire gait cycle the minute your heel leaves the ground. So that orthotic becomes mute. It's virtually ineffective after heel rise. So I think, in my opinion, lack of forefoot posting accounts for about 60% of the orthotic failures I see.
Okay, great. Now, Roberto, can you talk a little bit about how are you discerning if it's you hear about a lot about functional versus structural feet. How are you discerning if it's in a kind of acquired functional foot versus just your normal exam you were talking about with the structural abnormalities that you were seeing?
Well, in my opinion, all feet are components of structural and functional because structure dictates function. And you are born with your foot type. So you inherit your foot type from one of your parents or one of your grandparents. So the minute you start walking as a toddler, you start compensating. Okay, so if you're, let's talk a little bit about people, kids that are born into the D quad. This D quad, think of the letter D for developmental flat feet. That's the foot type that we are going to most commonly treat in children. And we have a prefabricated pediatric orthotic called the Little Step. For any of the therapists out there that work with kids, this is the greatest product I think that we've come across, because I cannot see, even as an owner of a custom orthotic laboratory, I just can't justify making a $400 or $500 pair of orthotics for a kid that's going to outgrow them in 3 to 6 months. So we have a prefabricated orthotic. I call it my pediatric D quad orthotic because it's basically your kids that have pediatric flat feet. Now, if you are born with that developmental flat feet and it's left untreated, you will eventually end up with a D quad foot, and that makes you the Fred Flintstone foot. That's our adult patient with really pronated feet. And there's a whole bunch of pathologies that you can get, beginning with foot pathologies, which is plantar fasciitis, metatarsalgia. Functional hallux limitus is very common in the D quad because the first ray gets jammed dorsally, mm-hmm. and we start to lose extension. Now let's fast forward that D quad patient. Let's say at this point we're talking about a 20 to 30 year old. Maybe they got some achy, tired feet, so maybe some signs of plantar fasciitis. And then that gets ignored, and the patient becomes a little bit older. Now they're in their 30s and 40s. They start to experience some hallux limitus and maybe some bone spurring on the top of the first MTP joint. So now the forefoot starts to abduct because they've lost range of motion around the first metatarsal phalangeal joint. And another decade passes, and now that D quad is turned into an F quad, which is the most significantly pronated foot. So now they have posterior tibial tendon disorder, or maybe tarsal tunnel, and their patellofemoral pain they had when they were a D quad is now turning into medial compartment osteoarthrosis. So this is a lifetime experience. You have one set of feet. Think of them like a set of car tires. When your car tires run out of tread, you can go buy a set of new ones. You can't do that with your feet. So the most important thing, component of our biomechanical program is patient education. We need to educate the patients about why it's important to wear an orthotic, why it's important to get the right orthotic, and also what kind of shoes they should be wearing. We've actually, on our website, you can download a copy of our shoe list. We update this twice a year, and it will tell you what kind of shoe a patient needs to wear. So for instance, a C quad needs to wear a neutral cushion shoe. And here's some ASICS models, some Brooks, some New Balance, some Saucony models that pair well with the C quad orthotic. Because you can have a great orthotic, but if you're putting it into the wrong shoe, it won't have the opportunity to work for you.
Yeah, that's a great point. I really like how you talk about, you know, your set of tires. You know, that's such a good selling point to the patients that may, you know, be kind of apprehensive of purchasing the orthotic. But you're right. You're only given one pair of tires throughout your lifetime. And that would be a good way for our listeners to kind of help sell some of this stuff if they go ahead and start using your system.
Yeah, and a lot of our listeners who are interested in learning more about this, I encourage you to go to our website, nolaro24.com. On our website, you'll see all six of the orthotics, and if you click on any one of those orthotics, it'll take you to a whole page that will describe how that particular foot type works, or moves. You'll be able to play a video that shows how the patient walks. You'll be able to hover over each of the phases of the gait cycle and learn more about exactly what's happening during those contact, mid-stance, and propulsive phases of gaits. and you'll be able to download that shoe chart, recommending particular shoes for each foot group.
Great. Now, Roberta, before we get into our offer here for our audience, why don't you tell us a little clinical pearl that those that are looking at gait and foot examination in the lower quarter, something they can apply right away in the clinic.
All right, so that's easy. So everyone today has a smartphone. It's the best thing that ever came to be for a physical therapist because it allows us to capture motion and play it back slowly. So one thing that I like to do for all of my users, so any physical therapist that's using our product, you get direct access to me as your tech support. So you can simply take out your cell phone, take a barefoot picture of a patient standing from the front and the back. You can take a walking video of them walking on a treadmill or walking across a floor barefooted for about 15 to 20 seconds. And you can play that back at your own leisure, slowly, frame by frame, and you'll be able to break that video down a little easier by looking at it in slow motion. Or you can send it to me and I'll help you do it. So this is one great way we use to tutor new users of our product is we have direct tech support. Most of the time that's with me. So you're going to be either texting me pictures or emailing me pictures, or a lot of customers will set up a shared Dropbox account and you can send me those images in that manner. And we can get on the phone or over an email and break those cases down with you so you can learn better, learn how to differentiate the more difficult cases that maybe fall on the cracks between, say, a C and an E or between a D and an F. How do you differentiate and make those final choices? So I hope to hear from some of our listeners and help them through this learning curve process.
Now, that's a great addition and offer in regards to helping some of those new clinicians out there that are applying this. Roberta definitely, as you could tell in this interview, knows everything you can imagine about these orthotics and the different foot types. So I would definitely recommend that you guys take her up on that. Last but not least, Roberta, what kind of a special offer do you have for those listening today?
All right. This is simply for a thanks and a shout out to Scott for having us on his podcast. We offer live webinars and training programs. And what I'd like to offer to our listeners is a free webinar to go over in more detail and go over. Typically, we'll go over everything that we covered today in much more detail in a Q&A. And it's a live webinar with myself. So anyone who's interested in learning more about the Quadricep system and how it works, I'm going to go ahead and waive the $95 webinar fee. So this is a $95 offer for our listeners. And if you just email me that you've heard information about this webinar on Scott's podcast, and that offer I'll extend through the 15th of August. So in the next 2 weeks or so, if you're listening to this podcast and you want a free webinar, just shoot me an email and we'll get back to you. You can just reach out to me at robertan@nolaro24.com and I'll make sure that's up on Scott's webpage.
Great. And Roberta, why don't you tell the listeners also about your upcoming masterclass, which I will actually be attending in Orlando, which I think it's in December, correct?
Yeah, here it is right here on our education page. We teach a master's level class, which includes indeed detailed biomechanics, how to break down the foot types, how to differentiate between the foot types. We go through every 24 cases in the functional foot typing algorithm. So we know how to take how to prescribe a custom orthotic, or if you use the Quadricep, which is often more affordable for patients, how do we customize a Quadricep to make it even better than it is straight out of the box? And that class starts on Friday, December 1st. It starts in the afternoon, so you can fly into Orlando in the afternoon. It's held right at the airport, right at the hotel airport, so you don't have to have a rental car or anything. It's a pretty cheap class that's only $150. So it goes from about 2 in the afternoon until 8 p.m. on the Friday, and then we start Saturday morning around 8 a.m., and it runs till about 2 p.m., and then you can fly home or stay in the great state of Florida and go see Mickey in Disney World. But the class is a quick in and out, and it not only covers biomechanics, it also covers how to grow a biomechanics program. So it covers marketing yourself, and that's one thing that I think we lack in PT school is how to sell ourselves and how to tell our community about our services and how we can help them. So we teach marketing techniques as well.
Yeah, that's going to be such an awesome event. I'm looking forward to it personally. Just taking my knowledge to the next level, applying this with Roberto. So if you guys haven't already, I would highly recommend you sign up for that in Orlando. And if you haven't been to Orlando, again, that's a great city for a conference. There's a lot to do. So I hope to see you all there. And so, Roberta, again, I can't thank you enough for taking the time out of your busy schedule to get this done. This was an awesome podcast, and I hope all our listeners learned a ton from you today.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to Scott Gray's Redefining Physical Therapy podcast, the number one podcast for orthopedic, sport, and manual physical therapists.
Now, Roberto, can you just go ahead and maybe elaborate, let's just pick a couple here. Some of the callus patterns of let's do the A and the C and F quads. Maybe just talk a little bit about the pathology of how they put force through their foot.
Okay, so you started with let's start with the C quad. The C quad's a pretty common one. The C quad is about 30% of the population, and C quads walk like a duck. They walk with their feet.